bases are swiftly covered by it with giant leaps. Looks like a train headed for Valley Ho. Well, hello, train, and goodbye! If Lois thinks she's going to scoop me, she's badly mistaken.
With the speed of light, he reaches the railroad trestle.
What the?
A torrent has loosened the bridge's supports, causing the tracks to tilt, making a wreck inevitable. The warning whistle of the approaching train is heard. Without a moment's hesitation, the cloaked figure mounts a peak of the rocks and dives forward.
No time to lose.
Seizing the bridge's supports, Superman presses up, up, until the track is level. Superman holds the bridge rigid until the train passes over.
Nightbeat with Robert McCormick on News 74, KCBS.
Ken Ackerman and Brady are here. We're talking, of course, about some of the old radio shows. Of course, Superman, one of the most popular ever. And they had several actors playing the part of Superman.
The most popular, I think, was Clayton Bud Collier. Bud Collier was not only an actor, but he was also a, this game type show.
Game,
he was the host of game show host.
Yes.
But I don't know who the actor was. No. That was not Bud Collier. I don't know who that particular actor, maybe somebody listening in knows who that actor was.
All right. Let's go to Ida in Antioch on KCBS. Ida, good evening. Thank you for waiting.
Good evening. In the mid-50s, I used to go to sleep every night to a perfectly marvelous program called Road to Dreamland. And I don't know if it was on KQW or KPO or KFRC or which station.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a program, if it's the same program, there was a program called Building a Bridge to Dreamland. Is that the one you're thinking of?
That might well be it.
An organ program out of Hollywood. What was the organist's name? Oh, that was very popular. Oh, I know.
No, it was not an organist.
It was not organist.
Not an organist.
Well, it was another program then.
I'm sure it was called Road to Dreamland.
Road to Dreamland.
And it was absolutely wonderful program.
Sounds like Sleepy Time stories.
It was just all kinds of different music, but it was not organ music.
All right, well, then we'll come up with an answer here before midnight. Thank you, Ida. Roanne in Oakland, KCBS.
Yes, when I was a child, I used to listen to Let's Pretend. But I never hear that rebroadcast. Do you remember that?
You never heard that? You never hear that rebroadcast?
No.
Well, just a minute, Roanne.
A little bit of it here.
This is the story of Rumpelstiltskin, written and directed by Nyla Mack for Let's Pretend.
Recognize that theme, don't you?
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's about all we have.
Nobody rebroadcasts things like that regularly.
Would you like to hear it for the kids? It was wonderful for children.
Someone should start a radio station of just oldies.
Let's do it, Ed. You've got the money.
Thanks, Roy. Maybe we could make something of that. They have a station now that talks about nothing but money.
That's right. That's right. George in Palo Alto, KCBS.
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question. Some years ago, I became acquainted with a gentleman by the name of Reginald Wright, who was happened to be blind. And I understood that he and Meredith Wilson and a third man, who I think I've heard occasionally, doing a 30s music program on Saturday morning on KDFC-FM. I understood that these three gentlemen together put together the original Camel Caravan on the Don Lee Network in San Francisco.
Oh, that goes way back.
And then Meredith Wilson, Reginald White did not leave. He stayed here. But Meredith Wilson took the show back to New York. Do you know, my question was, the third man who used to do the 30s music on Saturday on KDFC-FM.
Oh, my. The name Bud Carey is popping up, but it isn't Bud Carey. Bud has a program on KALW. No, I don't know. I can't recall.
Try to get an answer for you. Here's Ted now in Oakland, KCBS, Ted.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, we're doing well.
I was wondering if you remembered the old steamboat whistle that used to announce the 10 o'clock news with Don Mosley.
Oh, yeah.
God, that was wonderful.
I got to tell you about those newscasts here at KCBS now. You're lucky if you see the script before you go on. Aren't you lucky if you see the script before you go on the air, Robert?
That's right. Yeah, Fast and Furious.
Well, but you know, in those days, Don would take about an hour and a half to prepare the newscast, and then he'd go into his studio, you'd sit down on a microphone, and you would do what we'd call woodshed the news. You'd read it all the way through, and then you'd go on the air.
And, of course, Don Mosley's still heard on KCBS, right?
He hasn't retired.
No, no.
And, you know, was Red Blanchard, is he still around?
Well, Red left here back in the 50s. I don't know where Red is now, and he was quite a character. Remember that phrase he invented, Zorch?
Zorch. And you know, my mother, if she catch me listening to him, she'd just get furious.
Why?
Well, I don't know. She thought he was crazy or something.
He was crazy.
And Bill Weaver was here about that time, wasn't he?
Waiting for Weaver, yeah.
Yeah, another morning man.
And McElhattan in the Morning was great, too.
McElhattan in the Morning was a very good program, yes.
Yes.
Played a lot of very good music. Very contemporary.
Who was his sidekick?
I tell you, he had a piano player by the name of Friendly Clyde, who was Homer Welch.
Homer Welch.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had, they had singers. No, they didn't have singers on the program. No, it was just Dave and a fine engineer, a fine technician by the name of Don Hamm. The fastest fingers in the West.
well, thank you very, very much. It's a most enjoyable program.
Well, thank you, Ted. Let's get back to some of the some of your favorites. What were some of your favorites?
Well, Ed, you remember the Masters, don't you? Natalie Masters.
Natalie and Monty Masters.
Yeah.
Yes, they were at our station quite a few years before they went to Hollywood.
Just before the 11 o'clock news, somebody called in. And what had happened, wanted to know about Natalie Masters and Monty. Well, we have a bit of a program by Natalie Masters. She was Candy Matson, you know.
Yes.
That was another of the, shoot-em-up programs, detective-type programs that came out of San Francisco. Very well done, and here is part of the Candy Matson show of, I don't have the date on it, but let's guess. Let's say it's 1948-49, long in there. Here we go.
Hello,
Yukon
28209. Yes, this is Candy Matson. Come on, Mellor. Stop pouting. Enjoy yourself. It's earlier than you think.
Monterey at Christmas time is delightful. Carmel is most enchanting. Salinas, I enjoy. But to haul us way over to some unexplored cannibal country is too much.
Did you hear that, Rembrandt? Cannibal country, he calls it.
Mad at me, boy. This may come as a shock, but San Juan Bautista was founded by the Franciscan fathers in 1797.
I remember it as though it were yesterday.
Don't let him bother you, Ducky. Mellard can't stand this wonderful air. He misses the gas fumes of the big city.
Yeah, if I recall now, I believe that Natalie has passed on, hasn't she yet? I think she's no longer with us.
I think she and Monty both have gone, yes.
But what a great actress she was. And another of the detective-type shows that was, it was practically international in fame, certainly national in fame, was this one.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Detective Agency.
Me, sweetheart. Merry 29th of December.
You too, Sam. Did you take the little boy home?
Yep.
Straight home?
Well, not exactly, F. Had to make a couple of emergency stops, but we got there.
What do you mean, Sam?
Well, I got my weekly knot on the head, for one thing.
Sam, just taking the little boy home?
Like I said, F., we were derailed. There was a dash of poison, for instance. A couple of pounds of 1,000-buck notes.
Oh!
And an infernal machine that nearly blew up half the Mission District. But other than that, we had a peaceful ride.
Now, I don't know who that actor is, but I remember the Sam Spade as being Howard Duff. Remember Howard Duff?
Who married Ida Lupino.
Ida Lupino, yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course, Dashiell Hammett wrote that.
He wrote
San Francisco's
locale was
Sam
San Francisco.
Exactly. Now, do you have the whole program, those whole program entirety in the entirety?
If I don't have them, then others do, like Frank Knight and Dave Amaral.
I'd like to play some of the, if we can get a hold of that, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Joe Gore is one of the Private Eye writers, and we're doing a mystery show. I'd like to get some of that Sam Spade. How long were they in length?
Half hour. Generally half. Some were 15
minutes.
We'll take
commercials out, right? So we're down to, what, 20 minutes or so?
Oh, yes. There were probably, what, Ed, four commercials?
I could definitely play
probably,
one of those.
Probably, yeah.
Let's play. Let's look at it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Middle and end.
All right. Let's go to take some folks who've been waiting in Grenville. It's Guerinville. John, KCBS. John, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Got a question towards Ken Ackerman, since he used to do some news broadcasting during the early 40s. Gabriel Heater, he was nationally syndicated. I was just a youngster at the time, and I remember him starting out saying, "There's good news tonight, folks," and then he'd go on to the war. Was he like ABC, CBS, you know, Blue Network,
Mutual.
Red
Seems
Network,
to me,
or what?
You're right, Ed. He was Mutual.
Mutual, I
Mutual,
think.
Mutual, yes.
He was KFRC.
I think you're absolutely on that one.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
The other question I have, too, is what were the first radio stations in San Francisco and, say, Oakland, you know, the very first ones?
Oh, it would have been KPO, KFRC, KGO. Those call letters have not, well, KPO has changed, of course. KLX, KRE, KROW.
KWBR.
KWBR. What else?
Those are.
There
were
no more. There were only, say, eight or ten radio stations, but now.
KLX was owned by the Tribune and was in
the Tribune
Tower.
Yes, yes.
Brick Laws, I think, at that time, who owned the Oakland Oaks, owned that station.
I'm trying to think of another. KJVS, of course, here in San. KSAN was another one. KSAN was.
Under those call letters,
KYA,
been early
yes,
KYA was one of the very early ones.
Yeah,
that's where Lou Hurley started his radio career.
All right, LG in Oakland, KCBS.
Well, thank you. Well, how about the human side of the news?
Ah, yes.
And what I wanted to ask you in particular, if you ever listened to radio station KRE in Berkeley when they had the Yerba Buena Music Shop program on it. And I believe the woman's name was Vivian Borman.
That may be a little before my time.
Well, it could be.
I remember Bert Solitaire over there.
In 1946.
Oh, that's not before my time.
Broadcast from alongside Lake Limburger, as they used to call it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Keep listening and enjoy it. Hi, Dolly in Hayward, KCBS.
Yes. Do you remember Dobsey?
The Dobsey twins? Dobsey?
No, Dobsey, Hubert Dobbs, I think his name was. And he had an exercise program in the mornings.
No, do you remember that one, Ed?
No, Jack LaLanne's the only one I remember.
Well, this is way, way back in the early 30s, I think.
No, that predates both of us, then.
Both of us, yes.
Yes. No, I don't really, sorry.
Okay. All right, we'll try. You never know now. You folks out there listening, if you have answers to these questions that, for some unknown reason, our experts can't answer, please call in. 1-800-228-5227, toll free, 1-800-228-KCBS. More with Ken and Ed next.
KCBS. What kinds of business forms do you have printed by Sir Speedy?
Application forms, timesheet form, which is a multiple form, management report forms, our payroll forms.
And Sir Speedy prints it all?
Yes. Every bit of it.
And why is that?
With Sir Speedy, I not only get the service, but I also get the quality.
You know what continuous feed forms are?
Yes. We have those for our printout reports that go into our computer.
And how do they do that?
I don't know how they do it. They do it very well.
Sir Speedy, the business printers.
Hi, Jim Summers with Value Right News. My grandmother, who loves to say I told you so, believes in natural remedies. She told me that natural fibers help me stay in good health. Well, Grandma, once again, you're right. This week, get assorted flavors of 7.4-ounce sugar-free and 14-ounce regular Metamucil Natural Fiber Laxative for only $6.39 at participating Value Rights. Use only as directed. Just look in your yellow pages for Value Right. We'll always find great American values. And Grandma, I know. You told me so.
KCBS Nightbeat, Ken Ackerman, Ed Brady are with us. And Art in Walnut Creek, good evening, you're on.
Yes, for anyone, Jan's Journal was, in the 30s, I would think.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Jan's Journal or James?
No,
it was Jan's, like Jan Black has Journal. And
that's what I was going to say.
That's what we thought he meant.
Yeah.
This was Jan's Journal, and she would do some music and highlights and whatever.
What year is this you're talking about?
In
the 30s.
It'd probably be in the 30s.
Wow.
All right. Thank you for pointing it out.
Before our time.
Yes.
All right. One of the callers who's no longer with us wanted to know why the quality of the announcers has
gone down. Is that perhaps
It's just the quality of the announcers is different. Mm-hmm. Back in the days when they were hiring an Ed Brady or a Bud Heidi or a Clancy Cassell, they were selective. They wanted voices. They were interested in voices. It didn't matter how intelligent we were.
You had to have a certain timbre.
A certain timbre.
Be able to speak
And we all
properly.
Fit into a certain mold, and we were very stentorian, and thank heavens that announcers don't talk that way today, or you couldn't stand... I don't like the way
we were a little standoffish sort of in those days.
Oh, I think so.
And the public never had a chance to talk back to us like they do now.
Right. But the announcers are specialists now for the most part.
Yeah, true.
It's how much you know. It isn't how good you
are. Well, simply by virtue of the fact there are probably 4 to 5 to 6 times as many radio stations, and therefore numbers of people, being hired.
One of the first communicasters that we ever had was Ira Blue around here. You remember
Ira?
Oh,
dear old Ira.
In the basement of the Hungry Eye.
Used to personality
people would call in, and he would answer them, and usually he would take up more time than the other people.
Yes. Quite a talker.
An
inventive mind. Good writer. Very good writer.
Yeah.
All right, Ken, take us down to the bottom. Let's give us a good taste of some old time.
All right, how about going down memory lane now for just a little bit? Okay. Big band music was current here in the Bay Area and around the country for, let's say, 20 years.
A good 20 years. It faded out right after the World War II.
And dancing in ballrooms and hotels and that sort of thing. That was very
popular. A lot of our work was going out and doing
dance remotes. Well, here is a remote from way back in 1932. And it sounds like the announcer is scared to death of the microphone.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. The vibrant music of Anson Weeks and his orchestra, who nightly serenade the guests of the Hotel Mark Hopkins in San Francisco. Festivities are musically introduced with the melody Soldier on the Shelf.
Now, can you imagine the dollies today dancing to that kind of music, Soldier on the Shelf? Okay, and then now we go to the music of Sterling Young and his orchestra. This is from 1937. The other one was 1932. From 1932, we go to 1937.
This has been the music of Sterling Young and his orchestra playing for you in the Rose Room Bowl of the Palace Hotel in San Francisco. Keith Kirby, your announcer. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KSFO announcer. He was a broadcaster for KSFO. And then all through World War II, of course.
The Columbia Broadcasting System sends your way the music of Boyd Rayburn and his orchestra, featuring the vocals of Roberta James and David Allen, and coming to you from the Rose Room of the Palace Hotel in San Francisco.
So there we went from 1932... to 1937, and here we are in about, let's say, 1947, along in there, and all the Bay Area was dancing at that time, particularly during the war. You know, every hotel ballroom, the Rose Room of the Palace Hotel, the Peacock Court of the Mark Hopkins, in the Fairmont, too, and the Mural Room of the St. Francis, as you know, Eddie.
And a lot of us were still in our uniforms in those days.
Yes, yeah. And then a little later on, the sound of the music, by the way, on this Boyd Rayburn music, the announcer is Bob Gurner. Bob Gurner was a KCBS announcer at that time. Maybe we were KQW at that time. But anyway, Bob was the announcer. Bob loved the music of Boyd Rayburn and Stan Kenton and all those so-called inventive orchestras, which this one was. And some of Boyd Rayburn's music was dance music, and some actually went back to the classics for the arrangement. But Bob was in love with the Boyd Rayburn music, but even more in love with the girl singer, Roberta James. He married the lady.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then we went on to the 50s. And this sort of sound, let's say it's about 1950, along in there.
From the mural room of Hotel St. Francis, overlooking Union Square, in the city by the Golden Gate, San Francisco, it's Music by Martin. Freddie Martin is singing saxophone and his orchestra. St. Francis, San Francisco. And now, to get our dancing underway, here is your host in the mural room, Freddie Martin.
Well, thank you, Joe, and ladies and gentlemen.
That's an old friend of yours, Ed.
All of you everywhere.
Joe Gillespie.
Yeah.
Bless you, sir. Joe died about 3 years ago.
Right.
From 32 to 37 to 47, that was about 1950 for that broadcast. And now we go to the early 60s, and the sound got better, the technical technique got a lot better, and the recording is a lot sharper than any we've heard.
El Patio Ballroom presents Harry James and his orchestra. You can all tell it's a gala crowd here at El Patio Ballroom in San Francisco this Saturday night for Harry James and his orchestra, and a great show that he has lined up. Leading off with Shiny Stockings.
Yeah. You see how the sound got a lot better over the from 1932 to 1962.
Live shows still in the early 60s and live broadcasts.
And then the dancing stopped.
Yeah. Okay, Mike is on the line in Foster City with perhaps some answers to some of the listeners' questions. Tonight on Nightbeat, KCBS. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Yes, somebody asked about Captain Boxey. He was on KPO in the early days in the Hale Brothers building. He had an early morning show around 7 o'clock, the forerunner for Don McNeil's Breakfast Club. And I remember I was a little kid, and he would blow into a piece of wood, and it sounded like a ship's whistle, and you thought you were on board an ocean liner.
I remember this now. Captain Bobsey, yes.
Right. And then Frank Cope was a fella at KJBS.
Frank Cope, yeah.
He had the bells and buzzers and a gong.
Funny man.
The alarm clock club.
Yeah. Right. I worked with him at KJBS. You know, KSAN, 50 years ago, it was KGGC at the Glad Tidings Temple.
Oh, really?
And remember, we worked at that station. We had to go down through the roof through the ceiling to get into the studio.
Were you a technician?
I was a technician announcer those days. And then KTAB.
Oh, yes.
10th Avenue Baptist Church became KSFO, same frequency and the same license.
Wow, fascinating.
Thanks for that, Mike.
Thank you for that.
Do you folks remember the Muffler Man? Do you know the Muffler Man?
Yeah, the Muffler Man. Yeah, Gene Lockhart.
I made that in the mid-40s, and I got paid $5 for playing the piano, $5 for singing. It ran for about 20 years. They hadn't invented residuals. Well, he kept it a secret at that time.
You recorded that?
I think it ran for about 40 years.
It did. Very popular.
Yeah. You got $10 out of it?
$10, $5 for the piano, $5 for singing. I was a member of AFRA, but I guess that was the scale at that time. $5 each.
Have you met the Muffler Man? Gene Lockhart is his name. Wasn't that it?
Yeah. Does your car sound like an old tin can? Take it to the Muffler Man.
Take it to the Muffler Man. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it for that. On some of the other names, Armin Gerard, the ballad.
Yes.
And Joaquin Garay, he belted the songs on KFRC.
Right. Sure.
Elvett and Cheerilee and Yogi Jorgensen.
Yes.
And Edna Fisher, who played the piano whenever the network went dead.
She's still with us.
She is?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She's about 83, 84 years old.
Oh, boy. And then there was Bill Gavin.
Oh, yes, Bill Gavin.
He had a stable of singers. I was one of the singers. We all auditioned for this job at KFRC, and that fat, ugly kid got the job.
the one we talked about earlier. All right.
Okay.
Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Back to your calls, then, on Nightbeat.
You're listening to the news station, News 74. I'm Frank Knight, KCBS News Time, 11:33.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job that makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Yeah, who's that?
Is that William Conrad?
Is that who?
I think it is, yeah.
All right.
Great actor.
Now, by the way, Mike in Foster City, if you're still listening, call in at 765-4079, okay? That way you can get through. And Irene will take the call. We want to get in touch with you when we do
another career in his future.
Yes, yes, Mike. I know you only got $10 for that commercial.
And he might make more than 10 if he calls.
You're going up to 12,
right.
Robert?
Right. Yes. Freddie in San Mateo, KCBS. Good evening.
Hi. I hope you give me your number because when I was in the union, it was $150 a day. But God knows I didn't get any residuals out of radio. I wanted to kind of jog your memory about Channel 91, color radio.
Oh, tell us about it.
It was the beginning of Top 40.
That was O'Kenny Dell.
Innovated by Gordon McClendon.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Out of Dallas.
Oh, my. He started the Liberty Network.
Yes. Absolutely.
And they used to do a lot of baseball.
He was out of Dallas, wasn't he?
He was out of Dallas.
I think so.
KLIF in Dallas was
Cliff, his Radio Cliff, yes.
And Dizzy Dean used to be... one of the announcers.
And Gordon was the old Scotsman.
Mm-hmm.
And I did manage to get his recording of whatever famous game he announced that everyone was just ecstatic about and continues to be for Joe DiMaggio for a birthday gift. And he thought that was the greatest gift he had ever received.
All right.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes,
sure, please.
I want to pay a little bit of tribute to Gordon tonight, and I want to say that not only did he bring his Top 40 radio, but he also innovated the all-news station.
Mm-hmm.
And since Gordon has passed on and quit innovating in radio, we haven't had any new innovations.
I've always wondered this. Maybe you can tell me. Is he or was he related to the Mrs. McClendon who is in the news conferences in Washington, D.C. with the presidents and always is being needled by somebody?
No, absolutely not.
That's a different McClendon.
And I worked as Gordon's confidential secretary on the West Coast.
I
asked him that myself, so I can tell you that with all assurance.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you, Freddie.
Hello?
Thank you. We got to move on. Jomo.
Yes.
KCBS.
How you doing? Hey, I think I know who the voice of Sam Spade is. You have a show that comes on every Sunday night at 9:30. It's The Falcon.
Right.
And it's the same.
Same voice.
Like it's the same guy.
Yes. Well, I know it's not Howard Duff.
No. It's not Howard Duff. I just don't know who his voice is. It was the same delivery, the whole thing.
Right.
Anyway, what I want to talk about is that I haven't heard you mention what I admit that I am biased in thinking that this individual is probably one of the best radio voices I've ever heard, and that is Orson Welles. I heard that he had also a radio series, not only from the Mercury in the 1930s, but also later he did a radio series called The Third Man. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
No, not The Third Man, no. Huh? No, I don't know his series called The Third Man, no.
Yes, well, I've heard of it because I heard...
He did do a series called The Third Man.
I have
a confidential source.
Oh.
My name is Frank Knight. He said it is.
You can always rely on Frank.
All right.
Yes.
All right, thank you for pointing it up, Jomo. Appreciate it. Bud's calling now. San Jose Bud, KCBS.
Yes, good evening. I am in contact with Fred Blanchard every day practically here. He's
an
amateur radio operator. He's living in Valley Center down in Escondido.
Yeah, Red, I know he was a ham way back when.
Yes.
Not only on the air, but commercially, but
He's retired, however.
Uh-huh.
He went down from San Francisco to Southern California and was operating I think he was a technician at one of the TV stations down there. I don't know which one, however.
Yeah.
He's retired now. Also, you gentlemen forgot to mention KFWI at the Bellevue Hotel. You forgot to mention...
Oh, that got by us, yes.
KFWM, they shared frequencies. KFWI in the morning, KFWM in the afternoon, or vice versa. Whatever.
You're taking us way back now.
Was that the station that Franklin Muley owned?
You fellas forgot KQW 1909. You must...
That's right. That's us.
Thank you. All right, let's go. Mr. Ackerman, what else you got for us?
Well, here's another one produced here in San Francisco, and another one that went on down south. This was from December the 4th. 1949, and I know many of you will recognize this program.
This hour is yours, radio's oldest hour of music, designed for your enjoyment and presented every week throughout the year by the Standard Oil Company of California. Tonight, we greet you once again from the stage of San Francisco's War Memorial Opera House. Among our 3,000 guests present here tonight, we are especially pleased to welcome more than 1,000 members of the San Francisco branch of the American Association of University Women. And now we continue with the musical portion of the broadcast as we introduce the distinguished conductor of the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, Pierre Monteur.
Pierre Monteur. And other standard hour programs were conducted by, let me see, what was his name?
Carmen Dragon.
Carmen Dragon and Gaetano Merida also conducted.
True.
And that was one of the great big orchestra. That was the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra and alternately the San Francisco Opera Orchestra. And here at KCBS, we had a smallish orchestra, but along the same line, it was called the Masters of Melody Orchestra. And Robert and Ed, try to identify this voice. Who is the announcer on this program?
Once again, live from San Francisco, the music of Albert White and the Morris Plan Masters of Melody, presented by the Morris Plan Company of California, famous since 1916 for thrift, loans, and time sales financing.
Who is it? I can't. You got me. You stumped me.
That stumped you? Okay, that was, he does the 11 o'clock news on PIX here in San Francisco.
That's Dave McElhattan's voice?
Yeah, Dave McElhattan 31 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. His voice has changed just a little.
But you know, I'll tell you, we had not only orchestras here in San Francisco at radio stations, we had two or three orchestras at one time here at KCBS years ago. But smaller stations such as KFBK in Sacramento also had an orchestra.
So the curtain comes down on our variety musicale. This 15 minutes of assorted tunes and tempo featuring the Blue Velvet song styling of lovely Ruth O'Kane and the orchestral moods of George Fries and his orchestra. Variety musicale originated in our Sacramento studios. This is the California Radio System.
And there was a California radio station, Robert. I don't know whether it still is in existence. It was KFBK in Sacramento, a station in Stockton and Fresno, and I think Modesto, too, all the way down the Central Valley.
Who was that announcer?
Larry Robertson is his name. And he and I used to get in friendly arguments. He insisted that higher voices on the air were better voices because they penetrated. They went through the airwaves better than a deep bassy. He didn't like a bassy voice, so he was always saying, why are you talking in a bassy voice? Everybody wants to hear a high voice.
You tell him you couldn't help it? That's just, you know, that's the way it was. Okay, Gloria in Stockton, KCBS.
Yes, something I don't remember, if a lot of you would ever remember, maybe I'm dating myself, but I can remember as a very young child listening to Arch Obler read novels on the radio during the day. He would say, "This is a book I like, I'm going to read it to you." And if it took him 3 weeks, he'd read it in 3 weeks, or a shorter length of time. And when he'd finish one, even if it was in the middle of the program, he'd say, "This is the next novel I'm going to read to you."
Oh, yes.
And he was writing.
Did he own the station by any chance?
I think CBS carried it. It was like in the morning. During the summer, I used to listen to it 5 days a week.
Yeah, he was great. Harcho.
He had a great, fascinating voice, and he'd read a book. You couldn't help but loving him.
Yeah, he and Norman Corwin, all the other, they were great radio inventors.
You know, you don't hear that on radio, but often the great authors that come through here that we interview say they just came from a reading where they had read their work, you know, a couple of chapters out of their book. Uh-huh. And we don't do that on the air.
Not
and I asked, as a matter of fact, Roy Blount Jr. to read part of his stuff, and he read it. He had just come from a reading, and it's something that's kind of like a lost art.
A lost art, yes.
In the radio.
I used to do readings on this station years and years ago of a series called Bedtime Stories, and I don't know what time it was on, say at 11:30 at night, and I don't think it was a very good program, frankly. It didn't last very long.
It didn't last long. Dennis in Oakland, KCBS, good evening.
Hello. Started listening to your show on the way back from the Oakland A's game tonight, and it's a great program.
So
please
do it again. Ken said we'd pick up some of those A's.
Yes.
But before you hang up, I've got a question for Ed Brady.
Yeah.
Ed, I grew up in Fresno, and KNBC, KNBR, came in very clearly down there, and I can recall listening for many years to Bud Heide doing Tales of San Francisco, and then the Saturday Night Big Band Show. And you may have answered this before I started listening, but whatever happened to Bud Heide after he retired in 69 and you took over his show?
Bud is still very much alive.
Is
He's
right?
living in the East Bay. He does not announce anymore. He unfortunately lost his voice to cancer, but he is in good health otherwise. He has a new wife, a lovely lady that he knew in childhood back in Grand Island, Nebraska.
One of that great stable of announcers you had at NBC KPO in those days.
You bet.
Heidi Hall,
yeah.
And if you'll remember, Bud used to have listeners write in, and I had a correspondence with him for 3 or 4 years during
yes.
that show. And then how long did you do the show after he retired?
I did it about 6 to 8 years. I'm not sure of the exact time now, but it was a marvelous show. We called it the Brady Bandstand after I took it over, and we continued the same format with all the big bands. In fact, we've got some more big band music, haven't we? And maybe we can play a few.
Yes, a little later we'll do that.
Sure.
All right, Ed. How about doing a little
Thanks
mystery?
Thanks for calling,
now.
Dennis.
A little, I'm sorry, Ken.
A little mystery?
A little mystery. That's
okay,
what we need. It's close to midnight. All right.
All right, fine. There were some great programs on NBC and on KGO, and here at KCBS, at CBS, we had some fine, fine programs such as Escape and Suspense. Inner Sanctum. Let's listen to a bit of this one.
Everyday grind. Tired out by the dull routine. Want to get away from it all.
We offer you Escape. Escape. Designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Just a part of Escape, and then to this one. Great sound.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Margaret O'Brien in Anton Leder's production of The Screaming Woman. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
And many people remember the closing of this program.
When you plant a corpse, be prepared for anything. You can never tell what might come up. Good night. Pleasant dream.
Oh, from that from that famous sound to this one.
The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And finally, here is the end, the tail end of a program called Nick Carter, Master Detective. Listen to this.
This story is a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The Return of Nick Carter is produced in the studios of WOR and is broadcast over most of these stations every Wednesday evening at 8:30 Eastern Wartime. This is Mutual.
Eastern Wartime, Robert, so that places it during World War II, right in the middle.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get back to some of the big bands. You got some music for us here before midnight, and we'll take your call. Still have a few minutes to talk to Ken Ackerman and Ed Brady, old-time radio. Look back at the golden years, the heyday of radio.
Boy, they were fun, right, Ed?
Oh, we really enjoyed it. Don't think they'll ever come back.
Going out to the dance remotes.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Doing a studio program, having a rehearsal for a newscast. Can you imagine rehearsing for a newscast?
No, really?
Remember that awkward moment before they gave you the sign, you know, transcontinental, you know, here we go from coast to coast, from the Peacock Court of Hotel Mark Hopkins.
Wasn't that fun?
Did you ever, what was your most, you guys look back at embarrassing moments? Can you remember one or two things that happened that...
I think my most embarrassing moment was when I was in service. This was in, let's say it was 1943, and I was supposed to sell war bonds with somebody else from the roof of a building in Ketchikan, Alaska. People were going by, you know, and I was supposed to talk to the people through a PA system. I was up there talking, not aware that the PA system was not working. And I had talked for 15 or 20 minutes, wondering why nobody looked up. Nobody stopped to buy a war bond because they couldn't hear me. To me, that was a height of embarrassment. I felt like a clown.
That's good. To think of one.
You can't.
It's been so long.
He's the perfect
one. I've heard them.
You've heard a lot of mine on the air, I'm sure.
Listen, let's go back. We were in 1935 with Cecil and Sally some time ago. Let's go back to 1935 for a program that, it's going to recall some names that some people may remember. This is a program called, it was produced, by the way, at KPO NBC in San Francisco, called the...
The Carefree Carnival. And you will see what it will do. Just keep your chin up and grin up your sleeve. When Mr. Blue starts to leave, smile with me and be carefree. Together we will see it through. Cause if you're happy and healthy, the heck with being wealthy is a smile for you. Carefree Carnival with Meredith Wilson's music, the host of entertainers, and Ned Collinger.
Meredith Wilson, who obviously went on to bigger and better things.
Well, yeah, and you know, we're lucky to have some recordings like that because many of them were, frankly, wasted. It was policy at some stations not to allow recordings to leave the premises because they were expensive. And so far as recordings were concerned, there was a day when... aluminum was difficult to get. And if you wanted recordings, you had to give the producer of the recordings or the manufacturer of the recordings, say, five of your old ones to get one good one, you know. Yeah. And then in the age of the glass-based disc, nobody really wanted to take the glass-based disc.
All right, let's go to Tony in Arcata, KCBS. Tony, good evening.
Good evening. Enjoying your show immensely. Got bitten by the radio bug this semester, and that's what I'm hopefully going to go into. I'd like to... work at a station that plays nostalgia or music of your life and also old-time radio shows. And at 9 o'clock, every night of the week, you folks can probably pick up on the skip as I can up here, KNX Los Angeles.
That's our sister station, yeah. Are they running the Lone Ranger at 9 o'clock?
Well, it depends on the night of the week. Tonight was The Six Shooter with James Stewart and then Crime Busters. They're playing...
Okay, just for your information, Tony, we run both The Six Shooter... and we run also Lone Ranger,
yeah.
On Saturday night.
On Saturday night.
That's right. And Sunday nights as well.
Saturday night, they've got Burns and Allens and the Jack Benny program.
Gotcha, Tony. Thank you. Here's Alice in San Francisco, KCBS. Alice.
Oh, I'm enjoying your show. A relative called and let me know that you are on, and I'm very pleased. I have three comments. First of all, the lady who spoke about Let's Pretend... I still have my 78 records from when I got them as a child. It was a very good...
Oh, yes. Were they available commercially? You could buy them in record stores at that time?
Yes, they were.
Ah, yes.
And another show I always enjoyed was I Love a Mystery.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I would try and listen to it, because I had to go to school the next day, and I never got to finish anything, because my parents would make me cut it off. But do you ever run that show on your...
No, we don't know.
One on your program?
Now, some people say I Love a Mystery, the program originated in San Francisco, and I have heard from a source most recently it did not. Frank, you're nodding your head. It did not originate.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Two authorities.
Here's Wilma in Sonoma, KCBS. Wilma, good evening.
Oh, it's fun to hear all this, except when you're waiting on the phone, you miss it. the Lucky Strike Hit Parade, that was a big time, I think, wasn't it?
It was, yes, it was indeed. And one of the young women singers sang here in San Francisco at one time, Dorothy Collins.
Yes.
Yes.
And another great thing was the coming of the new year, welcoming of the new year, starting back east. Big band back there, then going to the next time zone.
That was NBC, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yes, I think Ben Brower was the master of ceremonies in Times Square.
Denver and different places.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was great.
Thank you for the call, Wilma. Don Petaluma, KCBS.
Yeah, you got a terrific program.
Thank you, Don.
Okay, one thing that you already mentioned about I Love a Mystery, with Mercedes McCambridge, gone at 10 o'clock every weeknight, and I got a lot of trouble for that when I was a kid. The other thing was, we have a question, and we're going nuts trying to figure it out. There was a radio program, and the announcer that was out in the audience would yell down to the stage, "I have a lady in the balcony,
yes,
Doctor."
Yes, Dr. IQ.
Dr. IQ.
Dr. IQ. Oh, thank you.
And all us announcers had to carry silver dollars around in our aprons. You remember that?
Yes,
did you ever work that show?
I know, I never worked that one.
Why is that? Why is it?
Well, we had to give them silver dollars.
Weight them down?
You said, give that gentleman 12 silver dollars for the correct answer to this question.
Gotcha.
His name was Lou Valentine. He later went into the ministry.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the few broadcasters who would ever do that. Led in San Francisco. KCBS.
Thank you very much for your program. I haven't heard all of it, but what I've heard, I've enjoyed, and I hope you will do it again.
Absolutely, by the way. It's a regular feature.
Okay.
Regular feature.
There was a program, I think, late 40s, early 50s, starred Mason Adams, I believe his name is, and he was a young detective visiting Scotland Yard, and the programs consisted of his letters to his girlfriend about his escapades with Scotland Yard. Anybody know the name of that program?
No, I don't. Ed doesn't. Robert doesn't. And Frank Knight, who is the authority on radio programs, is shaking his head.
He's still doing commercials, though, I know.
Oh, what a fine. He's a good actor. He's a good actor.
Time for one more, I think. How about Robin in San Francisco? KCBS, Robin, good evening.
Hi, a couple points. You said this is a regular feature. When is it on regularly?
Regular feature.
Every 6 weeks or so, 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, the other thing that I was really calling about was, have any of you thought about the possibility of starting some sort of broadcasting museum or a place to assemble all these old broadcasts and artifacts and old paraphernalia from radio stations from the past? And
sure, I don't think there's anything here in the West that I know. There may be something down in Southern California, but in Washington, D.C., I believe there is a noted archive there. Old microphones, old recordings, old scripts.
I was wondering about the possibility of putting something together like that here in the Bay Area, because there's a lot of radio history, and there's a lot of guys who are in radio who are at or just past maybe retirement point now, and it might be a nice idea to be able to assemble all this stuff.
I think in L.A. there's a pioneer radio broadcaster.
Yeah, sure there is, yes. Yeah. If you want to get started, I'll give you an old radio. You can get started with that. Hey, do you want to laugh a little bit?
What's that?
Well, let's hear a little comment. Let's go out.
Okay. These fellows were not my favorites. As a matter of fact, I don't think I like their program at all. Dean and Jerry, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, they were just a little too sappy. But you fellows judge for yourself. What do you think of this?
You're an idiot.
Me, an idiot?
Yes, you. I'm an idiot. Why, I studied nuclear fission with Oppenheimer, relativity with Einstein, theories with Darwin, and you call me an idiot? Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Figure.
What do you think? What's your opinion?
I think it's pretty funny. I liked them back in those days. I mean, it's obvious that...
I worked on their show once when they appeared in the Golden Gate Theater. Mm-hmm. I was the announcer. Mm-hmm. And while I was reading my announcement, Jerry Lewis came out and lit the script.
Oh, so, well.
So there went my my part of the show.
You know, there was a rule at CBS, we could not do that sort of thing. It was called self-entertainment. No way would they allow us to do that.
You've been listening to Ken Ackerman and Ed Brady, two of the finest gentlemen in radio and Bay Area, and thank you guys very much. We'll see you back here again real soon, okay? Next up, Jan Hutchins returns to Nightlight after midnight tonight, and he'll be with you until 3 a.m.
Well, as you can all tell, it's a gala crowd here at El Patio Ballroom in San Francisco this Saturday night for Harry James and his orchestra, and a great show that he has lined up. Leading off with Shiny Stockings.
All right, thanks for listening tonight. We'll have more of this for you, I guarantee it, soon on the news station. Produced by Sabina Bannon. I'm Robert McCormick. Good night, everybody.
Proud of 20 years as the Bay Area's news station. KCBS San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose.
CBS News, I'm Betsy Rosenberg.